Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to tee off with Dirt and Sprague.
If you're the Mexican Mac O'Grady, you got to figure out why I'm still shaking the ball.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Your brain was getting in the way.
The Fans U.S. Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
He went full Happy Gilmore.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to say late October as well. We'll get shocked. The Big Ten will announce tonight, and then we'll get good news. I'm probably an idiot for that, but
stay optimistic, man. What the hell?
Never know. Well, we have a Game 7 in the NBA tonight. I don't think anybody saw this one coming when the Clippers went up 3-1, but the Denver Nuggets had back-to-back comebacks down 16 points against a veteran Clipper team that many thought, or still think, can win the championship. So Andrew Greif, formerly, of course, the Oregonian up here, he is down there covering the Clippers for the LA Times on Twitter, at Andrew Greif. Give him a follow. Greif, it's good to have you back on with us here in Portland, man. I hope you guys are doing okay down in LA. Big Game 7 tonight, and the question I think I'm most curious about, Paul George and Kawhi are essentially on two-year deals. How much of the future kind of weighs on what happens tonight to you?
Yeah, I mean, this is the midway point of their deals, essentially. I mean, they have a way they can opt in for the third year, but essentially it's a two-year thing. And, you know, I think that as a franchise, you want to show them that you are willing, that you are able to win championships. I mean, that was what was said during their introductory press conference. It's a huge setting. There's like a school gym in South LA. And, you know, the team president said they expect to win championships, and we do too. I mean, it's been out there for forever that this is what they were brought here to accomplish. So to go out in the second round would be an enormous blow to that. Now, I do think that the last 14 months has been really positive in terms of their experience with the Clippers. You know, they by easily know by now that the team will pretty much do anything to make sure that they feel comfortable, but you still need to win. And right now the Clippers are on, you know, the verge of potentially going out. I do personally like their chances. I think that urgency has been a huge problem all year. And you would expect them, at least I do, to understand that tonight is the final chance potentially. So I don't think focus will be a problem, but execution, I guess, is another thing.
Yeah. What has gone wrong in Game 5 and Game 6? I will admit that in Game 6, that was an NFL Sunday, and I was a little preoccupied with other things going on. So I didn't see a ton of the game, but I'm like following along. They're up big. I'm thinking, all right, here come the Clippers. They're going to run away with this. What has gone wrong, and why have they not been able to put Denver or eliminate Denver to this point?
You know, in the second halves, they've shot between 28 and 34%, while Denver has shot 61% each game. So it really, I mean, obviously defense and offense kind of blend into one another. One affects the other, but the Clippers just can't score after halftime. And when they aren't able to score, that lets, you know, Denver get their defense rebounds and run down the court. And Nikola Jokic has been a monster. They have, for as deep as the Clippers roster is, they don't have anyone. Just like I'm pretty sure there aren't many guys at all in the NBA who can really match up to Jokic. He's just, you know, he hit a running three-pointer from like 27 feet off the wrong foot. And it was like a horse, the type of shot you make if you want to win a horse game. You're like, this is E. You know, it's like, it was one of those ridiculous shots that even the Clippers, even Kawhi Leonard probably wouldn't have expected him to take. So it's he's been a monster. The Clippers have been their own worst enemy, though. You know, it's like they aren't being very aggressive. Doc Rivers, he kind of looks at pace and tempo as like almost like a canary in a coal mine of how your team is doing. And once he saw them slowing things down, once Denver was making shots, forcing them to take the ball out of bounds, they couldn't run anymore. He was getting concerned. And you just see a team that in Denver that has total confidence. They've won five straight elimination games. They know what it's like playing Game 7, so they're not scared.
Andrew Greif is our guest here. LA Times does a great job covering the LA Clippers. They're stuck in a Game 7 against the Nuggets, who have roared back in this series. They're down 3-1. Game 7 is tonight. You know, who is the guy in the locker room? I feel like it's maybe Patrick Beverley because he's so vocal, but, you know, how vocal or you know, in the leadership department is Kawhi, is a guy like Paul George? Because I think most people look at that roster and say, oh, it's Pat Bev that talks. You know, how instrumental is Kawhi going to be in the locker room or on the court? I know he's kind of a quiet leader, but this is one of those moments, Andrew, that it just kind of feels like you need that superstar number one guy to maybe step up and kind of get out of his comfort level a little bit.
Yeah, I asked Doc kind of yesterday a version of that, and he kind of cut me off before I got to ask the full question about is he talking to guys about his Game 7 experience? You know, everyone remembers the four bounces his shot took to beat Philly last year. So is he talking about that? He didn't really hear that part of the question, but what he said was like he knows that the thing that is comforting as a coach is that, you know, there are a lot of guys who've never really been in the Game 7, certainly with these kind of stakes built up around this season. But he said he knows Kawhi, the moment won't be too big for him, that he'll be, you know, calm. Now, is he going to perform, you know, like he has in clutch situations before? Who knows? But he knows that, like, he won't feel timid or you know, too much pressure from the moment. So I would think that guys would look to Kawhi. You know, Paul George has Game 7 experience too, but mostly it was like 7 years ago with the Pacers. So I really think that, you know, all eyes are on Kawhi even more than usual.
But what have you made of Paul George's journey so far in the bubble? These athletes sometimes can be punching bags, especially Paul George, for the way he was eliminated last year and the comments he made after Dame's shot. He's not necessarily a fan favorite in Portland. But the way he struggled, the way he opened up about what he was dealing with and reading the stuff on social media, the mental health, what have you made of his journey and the way that he's played in the bubble?
It's been quite a journey because he came in July and was telling us that you know, his shoulders, which of course were a problem that he had surgery on immediately after the end of last season, surgery on both shoulders, that those were fixed and that during the regular season, he had no more doubts about kind of the state of his shoulders. He felt like his health was finally at a point where he kind of could just play free. And you really saw that like the first 2 or 3 weeks where he was just lights out from three. There's a game against New Orleans where he hit like 8 threes in the bubble in the seeding round. And it was like, okay, this is the Paul George, that smooth score that everyone knows. But then, obviously, he bottomed out in that first round for a couple games, and he said he just felt detached. What's kind of remarkable is that, as we've seen from Kevin Love and DeMar DeRozan, there's a lot more willingness to be vulnerable from players about talking about where they are mentally and their anxiety levels and depression. And that's something that Paul George brought up. And, you know, Doc Rivers has said time and again that he feels like mental health is basically the same as a sprained ankle. You know, it's hurting guys. It's something that hurts people, that brings down, that drags down their performance. Does not let them perform up to the level that they should be able to. And he said that, why do we talk about this like it's some kind of dark secret? Let's get this out in the open. And so I think Paul has been commended quite a bit for doing that in the middle of round one, and he's played pretty well since. I think he's been a really, really steady player all this round.
Do you think they blow the roster up sans Kawhi and Paul George, kind of keep those guys together, maybe keep a guy like Zubats just because he's young, but do you think that they're going to blow this roster up if they don't win tonight?
I don't really think so because, you know, now Montrezl Harrell is going to be a free agent at the end of this year. Whether they keep him or not, I think that's open to debate. You know, He's shown himself to be an extremely valuable regular season player. In the postseason, he's had a lot of trouble, and some of that is him leaving for a month while mourning the death of his grandmother, so that's a little unusual. But you know, he's a candidate to leave, obviously. Jermichael Green has an option for this summer. He's been fantastic, and I really think that he would be a valuable guy to bring back. They're young players, you know, Landry Shamet and Zubats, I think, have value. Zubats certainly. So I don't know if you'd see kind of a whole brand new cast of characters around the two main stars next year, but if they fall short, obviously they have to find certain, you know, fixes. You know, I think that for as talented and as deep as this roster is, and a lot of people have told me, oh, it's clearly the deepest roster in the league. Well, now you're seeing that, you know, when guys aren't making shots and your, you know, third point guard off the bench isn't making the shots he was in March, it can get that rotation gets really short really quickly. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing they would have a lot of reason to go out and shore up this rotation.
I feel like I know the answer to this, but I want to ask it anyways. How do Clipper fans react if they are to lose tonight and the Lakers go on to win an NBA championship?
Oh my gosh. I mean, it would be devastating because, you know, obviously I'm a transplant. I'm not from here, but I feel like I have a small window into kind of the psyche of Clippers fans. And, you know, this is not cliche. Like, it's a real deal. This is a Lakers town. It's striking how large the share of the population is that is just diehard Lakers fans. So this was one of the few times where going into the season that Doc Rivers said he felt like Clippers fans were really coming up to him, like on the street, being like, "Hey, I'm a Clippers fan," and being like loud and proud about it, and being like, you know, there's no more stigma they felt like associated with it. But if that situation were to unfold, like you said, and the Clippers lose and the Lakers win, it's just going to be deafening in terms of, you know, little brother or those types of comments that I'm sure Clippers fans have had to live with for years down here.
Yeah, I've always wondered, too, in a situation like that, Greif, how many fans are actually just going to say hi to Doc so they lie and they say they're a Clipper fan because they're in L.A., but I guess you never know. We'll get you out of here on this one, man. What is your prediction? It's hard not to see the Clippers winning tonight. Just it's Kawhi, it's Paul George, it's veteran, it's Doc, but they've blown two 16-point leads back-to-back. It feels like it'd be a bit dangerous for the Denver Nuggets to do that tonight, but what's your prediction of what's going to happen in Game 7?
Yeah, it hasn't been all blown leads this series. I think about in Game 3, they really stole a game that Denver should have won. Game 4, Denver made a ton of runs, and the Clippers pretty easily push back every time. That's why these last two games have been all the more stunning, honestly. But I think what you've seen is that the Clippers have a decided advantage sometimes. They can just really swarm teams, even a team as really good as the Denver Nuggets. So I think that I would still pick the Clippers to win. Again, so much of this seems to be like the Clippers play like they're a team that has endless amount of time together. Maybe if they're faced with the real scenario that they do not have endless time, this could be the last 48 minutes of the year. I would expect them to play with that kind of swarming kind of style defensively and overwhelming talent offensively that they've shown at times.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Andrew Greif. LA Times covers the Clippers, obviously formerly of the Oregonian, now down there in LA. Seeing if the Clippers can try to get their first championship. You can find him on Twitter at Andrew Greif. Greif, we appreciate the time up here, my man. Stay well and enjoy Game 7 tonight.
Stay safe up there, too. Miss you guys, miss Portland, and hoping everyone's safe.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.